day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Zacks Incorporated second quarter 2013 earnings conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session, and instructions will be given at that time. If anyone should require assistance while the conference is in progress, please press star then zero on your touch-tone telephone to reach an operator. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. I would like to introduce our host for today, Ms. Kim Rogers, from Genesis Select, Investor Relations for Zack. Ma'am, please go ahead.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining us today for the Zacks, Inc. second quarter 2013 conference call. On the call today from the company are Randy Hales, President and Chief Executive Officer, along with Zacks Chief Financial Officer, Brandon O'Brien. By now, everyone should have access to the second quarter earnings press release. If you have not received a copy of the release, it can be found on the Investor Relations portion of the Zacks website. This call is being recorded, and a podcast of the conference call will also be archived at the Zacks Investor Relations webpage under Events for 1 year. Before we begin, we would like to remind everyone that the prepared remarks contain certain forward-looking statements, and management may make additional forward-looking statements in response to your questions. These statements include, but are not limited to, our outlook for the company and statements that estimate or project future results of operations or the performance of the company. These statements do not guarantee future performance and speak as of the date hereof. We refer all of you to the risk factors contained in Zacks' annual report on Form 10-K and quarterly reports on Form 10-Q, followed with the Securities and Exchange Commission, for a more detailed discussion on the factors that can cause actual results to differ materially from those projected in any forward-looking statements. Zacks assumes no obligation to revise any forward-looking statements that may be made in today's release or call. Please note that on today's call, in addition to discussing the GAAP financial results and the outlook for the company, the following pro forma financial measures will be discussed: adjusted EBITDA and pro forma net income. An explanation of Zacks' use of these non-GAAP financial measures in this call and the reconciliation between GAAP and non-GAAP measures required by SEC Regulation G is included in Zacks' press release today, which again can be found on the Investor Relations section of the company's website. The non-GAAP information is not a substitute for any performance measure derived in accordance with GAAP, and the use of such non-GAAP measures has limitations which are detailed in the company's press release. And with that, I would now like to turn the call over to Zacks CEO, Randy Hales. Randy?
Thank you, Kim. Thank you for joining us on the call today. I will begin with comments on our strategic and operational performance, and Brandon will follow me with a detailed discussion of our financial results. Revenue in the second quarter was $51.2 million, with gross margins coming in at 42%. During the quarter, we focused aggressively on cost management and were able to realize operating efficiencies that resulted in improved gross margins, EBITDA, net income, and EPS versus Q1. The results this quarter indicate that the business is improving, but when compared to the second quarter of 2002, we are still feeling the effects of the lack of major device launches and an execution shortfall associated with our growth drivers. Zacks sales grew dramatically in the past few years, and as that growth has slowed in recent periods, it has brought to light organizational weaknesses that were masked by our period of hypergrowth. As we progressed through the second quarter, we realized the greater extent of our challenges, particularly with the lack of execution against the two most important growth drivers in our 2013 plan: product expansion with existing customers and distribution growth with new customers. As the impact of these factors became more apparent, we determined that it was necessary to pre-announce and lower our 2013 revenue guidance. As a direct result of the execution shortfall, I am expanding my responsibilities and working more closely with our sales team. My efforts will be focused on growing our distribution by bringing on new customers, while Derek Smith, our Executive Vice President of Domestic Sales, will concentrate his efforts on product expansion with existing customers. We have also expanded our executive team to provide further operational oversight for the organization. Earlier today, we announced the hiring of Jason Schwartz as COO to oversee operations including inventory management, purchasing, logistics, supply chain, distribution, and Asia sourcing, including factory qualification and selection. We are very pleased to welcome Jason to our executive team and look forward to the great work he will do at ZAG as we focus our efforts on building a solid foundation for continued success. Additionally, we have initiated a search for a director of international sales to help expand our footprint outside the domestic market with a short-term emphasis on Europe where we are experiencing softness. During the second quarter, the ZAG management team started implementing necessary changes to build an organization that is designed to deliver smart growth going forward. We are defining smart growth as consistent and disciplined growth built on a base of business that has the breadth and depth to minimize the impact of macro events and is supported by a solid foundation of operational disciplines. The difficult distribution changes we made earlier in the year proved to be an important step toward building a platform for smart growth. This change has allowed us to have better visibility and management of our pricing strategies in all areas of our distribution. During the quarter, our new distributors were fully onboarded and have begun ramping up quickly. The price discipline in the market as a result of the distributor changes has been favorably received and has served to strengthen our key customer relationships. One of the most important modifications made in the quarter has been the development of a more robust sales forecasting discipline. We are increasing the time and resources allocated for both product and sales training with the goal of building a world-class account management team. Coaching, training, and mentoring will become an even more important part of the ZAG culture. In addition, we have strengthened reporting tools to provide better visibility into the overall business and more timely reporting methodologies, including predictive reports that provide weekly insights into sales trends. Our strategic objectives, creative product solutions, building the preferred brand, and targeted global distribution play a central role in our goal of delivering smart growth. These strategic objectives guide our actions and decision-making process. The products we launched this year will play an important role in growing our business with existing customers and will help open doors with new customers while strengthening our brands. We have built a product platform that allows our customers to have one-stop shopping for mobile accessories, which gives ZAG a competitive advantage in a highly fragmented market. Recent industry data shows ZAG's brands remain leaders in mobile computing accessories markets. The ZAG brand is the revenue leader in tablet accessories, and the iFrogs brand is one of the top five in personal audio during the last year in terms of units sold. These results confirm the success of our brand and product strategies. As a general rule, we enter product categories where we can offer differentiated products. Our product management team is currently managing products in seven key categories, with two new categories being added this year, desktop audio and gaming. Initially, we had planned to introduce our Caliber game controller online in late June, with a full rollout near the end of Q3. We made significant progress with over 40 titles committed to support our online launch. In early June, the landscape changed with the Apple announcement of a standard iOS software protocol for game controllers. We view the announcement as a positive because it will allow for a much broader base of compatible gaming software titles. However, it has delayed the introduction of our controllers until late this year. We understand the challenges associated with this launch and have forecasted only negligible contributions in our 2013 guidance from the Caliber. Our product pipeline for the remainder of the year and into 2014 is looking very strong. In June, we introduced two completely redesigned keyboard products for the iPad Mini. These products have received rave reviews from the likes of the Wall Street Journal, Gotta Be Mobile, ZDNet, and CNET. The new, extremely thin form factor includes a hinge that allows for multiple viewing angles and provides as much as 30% more typing area than competitive product offerings. In addition, we recently launched a redesigned version of our universal keyboard that works with all Bluetooth-enabled devices on all operating systems. In the month of June, we relaunched our entire Invisible Shield product line with new and improved formulations for our original smudge-proof HD and extreme film products. I'm pleased with the progress our product team is making. We have also implemented operational improvements to lower cost and an improved gross margin and cash flow. One example of this is air freight. Earlier this year, we put into effect new processes and procedures surrounding the use of air freight, and the results are impressive. In the first two quarters, we saved $4.4 million as compared to the same period last year. We anticipate increased air freight utilization in the second half of the year due to the upcoming device launches and introduction of the Calibre gaming controller. However, we will continue to follow our new protocols and continue to minimize this expense. We have restructured our in-store support program by expanding our training team. Previously, we have had 4 to 6 infield trainers that at their peak trained 3,000 stores a year. In 2013, we hired 16 interns that have trained over 8,000 stores in the past 3 months. I traveled with our training team recently, and I can tell you that they are great ambassadors for the company. Another significant operational change being made is the way we purchase our Invisible Shield products. We are now in the process of implementing a turnkey solution that over time will lower our inventory balances and decrease the working capital associated with the Invisible Shield. Historically, our multi-stage approach tied up a lot of cash in raw materials while increasing our inventory carrying balances. This new turnkey solution will be fully implemented over the next several quarters. Recently, we implemented a bi-monthly meeting discipline we call SPY, Sales, Purchasing, and Inventory. The purpose of SPY is to bring sales, purchasing, and inventory managers together twice a month to review forecasts and improve our demand planning as an organization. With time and effort, this too should yield lower inventory balances and help decrease our working capital requirements. Inventory management disciplines with a focus on increased turns will be an important near-term objective for our new COO. Another area where Jason will have a near-term impact will be working with our supply chain from manufacturing to retail shelves to make sure we are prepared for the highly anticipated device launches coming this fall. Looking at the remainder of the year, we have several milestones, including the launch of our mobile gaming products. We are entering an exciting time for Zag as we sharpen our focus and build a foundation that will further expand the company's leadership position in mobile computing. While we have made progress this quarter, many of the initiatives I've outlined are still in their initial stages, and their full impact will become more evident in future quarters. The entire Zag team is committed to making the changes that will support our smart growth plans going forward. With that, I would like to turn the time over to Brandon for a detailed discussion on our financial results. Brandon?
Thank you, Randy, and thank you for joining us today to review our second quarter 2013 financial results. As stated in today's release, we will be disclosing consolidated financial results reflecting our primary operations within the United States, as well as our international operations from Zag International, our wholly owned subsidiary operating out of Shannon, Ireland. During the call today, I will speak only to consolidated results unless otherwise stated. The financial statements provided in today's release reflect consolidated Q2 2013 financial details, so you may refer to them for further clarification. Revenue for the quarter was $51.2 million versus $61.6 million in the quarter from the prior year, representing year-over-year decline of 17%. The year-over-year compare was primarily impacted by the delay in new mobile device launches, product expansion with existing customers progressing more slowly than originally expected, and new accounts taking longer to come online than originally planned both in the U.S. and Europe. As a result, we lowered our guidance for the remainder of 2013. Our revenue guidance is now a range of $245 million to $252 million from the previous range of $274 million to $280 million, and for adjusted EBITDA, we are now forecasting $41 million to $42.2 million, down from the previous range of $55 million to $57 million. Our new adjusted EBITDA guidance reflects our anticipated investment against sales and product management for the remainder of the year, possible increases in air freight for product that will ship to support new mobile device launches, and marketing spend for new products being launched in the second half of the year. The breakdown for the sources of revenues is as follows. For the quarter, 86% of sales came from our retail channel versus 79% in the same period last year. 9% of sales were from Zag.com and iFrogs.com versus 15% in the same quarter last year. And 5% were from the kiosk and standalone stores versus 6% in the same quarter last year. International sales accounted for 10% of total revenue in the quarter versus 12% in the same quarter last year. International sales have been impacted by the difficult economic conditions in Europe, the largest market for us overseas. As Randy mentioned, we have announced the search for a head of international sales to bring a higher level of attention to the global growth opportunity. Revenues from the Invisible Shield product line were 38% of net sales versus 41% in the same quarter of last year, and the keyboard product line contributed 25% of net sales versus 28% in the same quarter of last year. Gross profit for the quarter was $21.5 million versus $28.4 million in the same quarter of last year, which translates into gross margins for the quarter of 42% versus 46% for the prior year period. Gross margins benefited in the quarter from the reduction of air freight expenses that Randy mentioned earlier. The decrease in gross profit percentage year over year is due to a number of factors, including the continued product mix shift as sales of our Invisible Shield products, our highest gross margin product category, decreases as a percentage of overall sales compared to the second quarter of 2013. Sales of our iFrogs audio products, which carry a lower gross margin than our corporate average, were higher in the quarter over the same period. Lastly, online sales, which are typically at a higher gross profit than sales through other channels, decreased as a percent of revenue from 15% to 9% compared to the second quarter of 2012 to the second quarter of 2013. Operating income in the quarter was $5.4 million versus $10.8 million in the same period last year. Operating margins for the quarter were 11% compared to 18% for the same period last year. In the quarter, there was a non-cash impairment charge of $0.6 million related to shares of stock in a private company recovered in foreclosure in 2012 and which served as collateral on the note receivable. We also incurred $1.3 million in stock compensation expense during the quarter compared to $1.5 million in the same quarter of last year. The effective tax rate for the quarter was 40.1% compared to 39.2% for the same period last year. We anticipate our tax rate for the remainder of the year to average closer to 38%. Net income in the quarter came in at $2.8 million versus $5.8 million in the same quarter in the prior year. Our fully diluted share count for the quarter was 31.2 million shares. At June 30, 2013, we had 0.6 million outstanding options, 0.4 million outstanding warrants, and 0.4 million outstanding restricted stock grants. We used the treasury method in calculating our diluted shares outstanding. Our fully diluted earnings per share were 9 cents for the quarter versus 18 cents in the same period last year. During the quarter, we incurred the following non-cash charges, which we have tax-affected in the calculation of pro forma EPS, assuming a statutory rate of 38.25%. $1.3 million, or 3 cents, related to stock-based compensation. $2.4 million, or 5 cents, related to amortization of intangible assets. $0.6 million, or 1 cent, related to the impairment of private company common stock. These losses are not currently tax deductible, so the loss has not been tax affected. $0.6 million or 2 cents related to our equity method investment in HZO. These losses are not tax deductible, so the loss has not been tax affected. Pro forma net income for the second quarter of 2013 was $6.3 million, or 20 cents per diluted share, as compared to pro forma net income of $8.6 million, or 27 cents per diluted share in the second quarter of 2012. Total non-cash charges, net of tax, included in the calculation of pro forma net income totaled $3.5 million in the quarter, or 11 cents per diluted share. Adjusted EBITDA for the quarter came in at $10.5 million compared to $15.1 million for the second quarter of 2012. Turning to the balance sheet, working capital at the end of the quarter was $74.9 million compared to working capital of $89.4 million on December 31, 2012. We reported a cash balance of $13.6 million. For the second quarter, we generated cash from operations of over $5 million. During the quarter, we paid down $13.1 million on our line of credit and $2 million on the term loan. At June 30, 2013, the balance on the line of credit is $4.6 million, and the term loan balance was $22 million. Accounts receivable for the quarter were $31.3 million as compared to $54.6 million at December 31, 2012. DSOs in the quarter were 56 days compared to 57 days for the quarter ended December 31, 2012. We continue to be very comfortable with the quality of our accounts receivable. Inventories for the quarter were $46.8 million compared to $40 million at December 31, 2012. Inventories continue to be one of our largest asset categories, and we are continuing to refine our processes and management to best optimize our inventory levels. Jason Schwartz, our new COO, brings a wealth of industry expertise in logistics and inventory management, and I am confident inventory optimization will be a near-term focus in our business. Though inventory levels are higher in the quarter, I feel we are in good shape here. Most of the increase is due to product having shipped from China and transitioning from prepaid deposits into inventory. Included in the increase are Zag keyboard products, for which there is high demand, as well as iFrog's audio products for upcoming resets and subsequent reorders of some of our key accounts. The new products make up over one-third of our current finished goods. HZO continues to progress with their strategies of commercializing their technologies. HZO has deployed machinery in the U.S., Japan, and China. HZO is already included on several devices with an emphasis on wearable devices. Last week, HZO was awarded the Best Technology Award at the Wearable Computer Show in New York City. We are excited with the progress they have made to date and look forward to some new announcements from HZO later this year. At June 30, 2013, our ownership percentage in HZO was 22.7%. With that, I'd like to turn the call back over to Randy.
Thank you, Brandon. We'll now turn the time over to the operator to open the call for Q&A.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question at this time, please press star followed by the number one key on your touchtone telephone. If your question has been answered or if you would like to remove your line from the queue, you may press the pound key. Again, if you do have a question, please press star and then one at this time. Our first question comes from the line of Dave King from Roth Capital Partners.
Hi, this is actually Sal Soto on for Dave King. Besides the product mix, what were some of the other factors that weighed on gross margin this quarter? And then how much of an impact was there from each? Thanks.
So there were several things. Obviously, we talked about mix a little bit and the change with Invisible Shield and keyboards representing a lower percentage of our product mix during the quarter. And then, of course, the management of the air freight helps too. We roll air freight into the gross margin calculation, and so that helped to bolster some of the takeaway from the Invisible Shield representing the lower portion of our sales.
That's helpful. Thanks. And then just you mentioned several factors that impacted revenue this quarter. Can you talk about the specific impact of each? And then did any of those factors affect one product more than others?
You bet. So, yeah, the key reasons for the draw on revenue this quarter had to do with, as we stated earlier and in the last quarter call, the lack of major device launches. That accounted for more than 50% of the pull down on our revenue. And then right behind that, we had anticipated penetrating our existing customer accounts better at this point in time during the year. In other words, selling more of our products into them, and that has not matured as quickly as we would have liked it to. And then secondly, we have not closed the new business that we had anticipated closing by this point in time when we put the plan together. So those areas, of course, we don't have any influence on the device launches, but those two that we control, we've certainly added a lot of emphasis and put some resources towards moving the needle forward in both of those areas.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And our next question comes from the line of Ross Lucero from Craig-Hallum.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
You bet, Ross.
So we're looking at about 40% gross margins for the first half of the year with the bonus of that $4.5 million air freight savings. What are we looking at for the second half of the year, considering that air freight is going to be higher?
Yeah, Ross, we still feel very confident in the guidance that we put out there that gross margins will continue this year in the low to mid-40s.
Okay, great. And can you talk a little bit about what drove the lower internet sales, particularly given the distribution transition? One would think it'd be a little bit higher given that transition.
Yeah, they don't necessarily correlate in that those distributors that we moved away from or the customers they were servicing aren't necessarily going to move over and come in and buy product online because they don't get the discounts that they would need to support a resale of those products. So we don't see a direct correlation there. I think our web sales is really reflective of what we've seen in the rest of the organization, that as sales slowed, we found some weakness in some of our disciplines behind the scenes. So we have met and spent a lot of time with our web team leadership, and they are implementing some new tools that we've just authorized that are starting to come online now to help drive additional traffic to the website and bring more awareness to our products. And we're anxious to see how those perform over the next two quarters. But there again, the most significant impact to that side of the business is the lack of major device launches. That generates generally a lot of enthusiasm and excitement and people back to the website. So it's a combination of many of the same factors that we've talked about on the core business.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Ross.
Thank you. And our next question comes from the line of Paul Coster from J.P. Morgan.
Hi. Hi, this is actually Paul Chung stepping in for Paul Coster. Thanks for taking my question. I just wanted to ask, further expand on the gross margins. Where do you see it pushing out farther from 2013 as more mix comes from other products?
Yeah, we have said all along that it's important to the business that we are not too dependent on any one given product category. So we anticipate that the percentage of sales contribution from the Invisible Shield will continue to become a smaller percent of our total sales, and that's a very healthy thing for the business. But we will continue the discipline of making sure that new products being introduced are gross margin accretive wherever we can. So we're trying to offset some of that just natural gross margin pressure. We haven't given any guidance yet into 2014 and beyond, but we are very comfortable with the low to mid-40s this year. And as we model out 2014 during September, October, and announce that early next year, we'll provide more perspective on it.
Okay, so like a target for new product would be to the low mid-40s as well?
Correct, uh-huh.
Gotcha. And a quick housekeeping question. What percentage of sales were attached to Apple, and what do you expect moving forward?
Yeah, so it's definitely down this year as compared to last year. This year, year-to-date, we're in the low to mid-40s, and we anticipate that will change as they introduce new products later in the year. Certainly plan new product introductions, but probably on the year somewhere below 50%.
Okay, thank you very much.
You bet.
Thank you. And our next question comes from the line of Mike Lattimore from Northland Capital.
Hi. Good evening, everybody. On the game controller, do you intend to sell that kind of as a suite with your gaming headsets as well into retailers, or is that going to be sold sort of, you know, are you going to allow retailers to sell that independently of taking on gaming headsets?
Definitely, our ideal is that they set with the full complement of gaming products, both audio and controllers. However, the gaming audio market is very mature, and so we have our work cut out for us there, and we would certainly move forward with the sale of the game controller itself if that made sense for the retailer. But we're putting bundles together to make it attractive for them.
And then the online sales or e-commerce, what as a percent of revenue, where should that be, do you think, in a normal business model for you over time?
Well, historically, it's been 12 to 15%, Mike, and that's a level that we're comfortable with. I think once we have the launch of the new products later this year from Apple, we'll see that traffic come back online. We've adopted some new tools to be more efficient in our spend and acquisition costs on the website, and you know, if we could keep it to that range of 12 to 15%, I think that's a range we're very comfortable with.
Then how many 10% customers did you have, and you know, maybe give the percent of the top two perhaps?
Yeah, so for the quarter, we had two that were over 10%. We had Walmart at 24% and Best Buy at 19% for the quarter. So this was a very strong quarter for us with Walmart with their spring reset. We got a lot of new audio SKUs in there, and that helped to drive that up as a percentage of revenue in the quarter.
Okay. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you. And again, if you do have a question, please press star followed by the number one key on your touch-tone telephone. Our next question comes from the line of John Hickman from Ladenburg.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call, my questions. My question has to do with the sales levels and the two initiatives that you did not execute on. Randy, is this a personnel issue, or were there other factors that you're going to work on?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of both. We are out right now making some additional hires, John, to help have even more focus on some of those objectives and perhaps workload on some of our existing personnel was more than it should have been to drive the focus that we were looking for. I think with additional focus, we've kind of taken a divide-and-conquer approach to many of our selling initiatives. As I mentioned in my remarks, I'll be getting very involved in the new business development side of things so that Derek can focus even more on the domestic piece of business while we bring in some international sales talent. So it's a combination of another number of things.
And then if you're still comfortable with gross margins in the low to mid-40s, but you're talking about increased spend so that would drive your adjusted EBITDA towards the low $40 million range, are we to assume that your advertising and your SG&A is going to go up materially here in the next two quarters?
Yeah, I think there's a couple things in there, John, that play into it. Number one, we are going to continue to invest in making sure we have the right people on the team and the resources they need to be effective and efficient from a selling perspective. We also are going to support the launch of these new devices very well. And oftentimes,
that will require us, because of the short notice we have when they hit, to use air freight and utilize that to have product in store the day the devices are on shelf. So those are two of the things that we know we will have some uptick in expense on. And then we're guiding to basically what we've seen from our performance during the year thus far. And we want to make sure that we stay in that range until we can demonstrate that we can perform better than that. So there are a number of factors that are causing us to put guidance out there in that range from an EBITDA perspective.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you. And our next question comes from the line of Ron Weiss from Janney Capital Markets.
Hi, this is Sarang Vora from Janney. My question relates about Q4. Last year in Q4, you had a 30% sales growth. Can you just highlight some of the reasons what gives you confidence of a positive sales growth in Q4?
Yeah, it certainly starts with at least our belief that there will be a number of new devices launched during the quarter that will help drive that. And then just historically, going into the holiday season, it's a very strong selling period for us. So kind of got both of those things working together, and we're very confident in what we're seeing shape up for the fourth quarter, as well as the introduction of our Caliber gaming controller.
Thank you, and I see no further questions in the queue at this time. I'd like to turn the conference back for any closing comments.
Well, thank you for being here with us today, and we look forward to demonstrating our performance against some of the operating objectives that we've set out and some of our new initiatives from a selling perspective, and we'll look forward to reporting on progress in our next quarterly call. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your participation in today's conference. This does conclude the program, and you may now disconnect. Everyone, have a good day.